Hi there, everybody, and welcome back to the Bumblecast for our very second episode. Yay! Woo!
We made it to the second episode. I almost can't believe it.
I am your host, Ian Flynn, and joining me as always is the esteemed compatriot, Kyle Cross. Hi, Cross!
Hi.
So, funny thing, as we were trying to set up the show, and we're typing back and forth, just comparing notes and getting in touch, I was compelled more than once to talk directly to you. Because, there's a microphone, and this is how we communicate for the show. And I'm like, why would Kyle not answer? Oh, that's right. Because we don't have the connection running.
Little did you know, it's actually because I'm a huge jerk and was completely ignoring you.
Oh, well, thanks for the save on that part. I thought I was just being dumb.
Nope, it's because I am mean.
Okay, well.
I would use another word, but we're keeping this a family-friendly podcast, I guess.
Trying to.
To me, that's no fun, but well.
Maybe for April Fool's Day, we'll just take all the censor bars off and go nuts with it.
Oh, man. Oh,
welcome to the Bumble. Thanks for listening, you stupid. We spent like 30 hours in post getting different bleeping sound effects over everything.
Oh, man. That would
be that almost sounds like too much fun.
That would be the best part.
All right, so I'm a day late, but let me say happy Thanksgiving, Kyle.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Ian.
And I don't mean, good old-fashioned American Thanksgiving. I mean the Thanksgiving of glorious Soviet Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Red and white flies over patriot country, but we still eat plenty turkey.
Plenty turkey.
That was one of the things that threw me off when I first moved up here, is like they start talking about Thanksgiving in October, and it's like, we haven't even had Halloween yet. What are you doing? First you're doing this ZZ thing and doing things in kilometers, and now this strange and foreign one. They do their Thanksgiving every second Monday in October.
Yes.
So there you go. It's weird. But on the plus side, since I hop across the border, since all my family's in the States, I get two Thanksgivings a year.
That's cheating.
Oh, it is. I live the Konami code of turkey.
Oh, that is cheating.
You have, up, you, down, you, left, right, bird stuffing, burp.
Oh, man.
The fridge is currently packed full of turkey soup and turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie.
Well, I know where I'm going back to this weekend.
The turkey soup my mother-in-law makes. Oh, dude. What she does is after, she carves up the regular bird, uh-huh, and we feast upon it for an hour.
Yeah.
Or everyone feasts upon it for about 15 minutes and I continue for the rest of the hour. I'm not a proud man, but that's a good bird.
Yes.
Takes the carcass, wraps it in cheesecloth, and adds all the leftover vegetables and just stews it all night and all the next day.
Oh.
And what comes out is just this delicious, thick, probably clog your heart, but who cares, turkey soup. The gravy, the leftover gravy goes into the soup, Kyle.
Oh, man. And I still have to wait another month and a half. What am I doing with my life?
Not having the turkey soup. Yeah. That's what.
Damn.
So while I'm gorging myself, what have you been up to?
I have not been up to a whole lot. I'm gearing up for Back to the Future Day next week, as of this recording.
Yes. McFly!
Yes. October 21st. I'm a huge nerd, so Back to the Future is like my favorite movie, and I'm finally gonna be the day that Marty McFly came to the future in Back to the Future Part 2. So things are pretty much exactly the same. We all wear colanders on our heads. That's a normal thing.
I maybe it's a statement to my lack of fashion sense, but I really do wish they had those clear plastic ties that Doc Brown had. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
I don't know. I liked the 80s version of 2015. So
it was still, so bright and colorful and fun.
I still want my flying car, dang it.
Now, see, I'm a technophile. I enjoy my gadgets. I will laud every step forward in the progression of technology.
Right.
But we do not need flying cars. We can't drive in two dimensions. You want to add a third one to that, Kyle?
I know. I know we can't. That doesn't mean I don't want one.
Give me the hoverboard first. Let me break my own fool neck. And that's, you know, just me. I'm not damaging anything else. You start adding flying cars and they're dropping out of the skies. Tonight on Evening 6 News, there was another 20-car pileup in the 16th floor of the high-rise.
We do have self-driving cars, so I figure flying cars would be probably end up being mostly self-driving if they do happen
in real life. I want me a self-driving car.
Yeah, they
have to get groceries, have to make a long trip, just set it to go, and you can do whatever you want. Take a nap, do some work, play a game. You don't have to worry about it. The car does all the work for you.
Right. And supposedly, so far in testing, they're pretty dang safe. All accidents reported have been caused by the other driver, not the car.
Exactly.
So far, so good.
I've heard that the ones that are on the market now are only for highway driving. They can't do inner city driving, which makes a certain degree of sense since there's so many more variables.
Yeah.
But still.
Oh, we'll get there. The technology is getting better and better, so.
We can do it. We have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Start up the car and goes.
I just want that sound like the and Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2 with the DeLorean, the DeLorean's flying sound. It sounds pretty good.
Oh, sure. I might forgive all the chaos and mayhem if all the flying cars sound like the flying DeLorean.
Yes. Or if all the flying cars were DeLoreans, I'd be fine with that.
Oh, yeah, okay, you sold me there. There was one time, long ago, when I actually had a fair amount of money, and just going on eBay for giggles, somebody had a full DeLorean for sale, and it's like, if I put every cent I own into this right now, I could own a DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the wisest investment in the world, but I could own a DeLorean.
Their value...
Decisions.
Their value is going up, so it is a decent investment, especially as fewer and fewer of them are out there. Because over time, that's just kind of what happens to cars that are no longer made. They just kind of start disappearing. But there is a certain amount of effort into owning one, from what I understand. They're not easy cars to own. The finding parts for them is difficult. Fixing them is fairly difficult. I've looked into all this because I, too, have gone onto eBay and just, you know, drooled over DeLoreans. This is my dream car, by the way, if anybody's wondering. I mean,
it can't be too much. You save a ton on gas because they all come with a Mr. Fusion, right?
Right.
Just put the compost down the chute and boom, you're good to go.
Right. Although Doc did say the engine ran on regular gasoline and the Mr. Fusion was just to power the time circuits.
The
nuclear reactor that the thing was equipped with. Because of course it was equipped with a nuclear reactor. Why wouldn't it be?
Because it's a science experiment!
Exactly. But yeah, they're not easy to drive necessarily. They're kind of slow. They look good, but they're slow. And most of them are manual. So that's a thing.
All these points, and there's still that little voice in the back of my head saying, but DeLorean.
Exactly. I've said all these things, and I still think, yeah, I still want one. Anyway.
Speaking of ludicrous expenditures of money, let's cover some Amiibo news.
Go for it.
So we put off recording the show for a little bit because I had heard a rumor that they were going to announce some kind of one of the new playable characters for Smash Brothers. I'm like, ooh, we need to make this topical because we're recording this fairly in advance, so there's time to process it and all. But let's see what this new character is. And of course, nothing materialized because it's the internet and it's full of rumors and I'm an idiot. But somebody pointed out that if you go to the Amiibo compatibility page and you check out the Shovel Knight Amiibo, it's listed for both the Wii U and the 3DS.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything concrete. I mean, is Shovel Knight getting a 3DS physical release?
No, it has a digital release.
Okay, so it could be for that.
Yes,
it probably is.
It is.
But, there is that one other game with the Smashing and the Brothers with, dual system compatibility, so it's a possibility.
Yeah. I believe the Shovel Knight Amiibo was shown, maybe still is, it might have been fixed by now, was shown to be compatible with Smash Brothers on the Nintendo website.
So, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
and also saw news bit today.
I've become Porky Pig. Sorry about that.
News broke today that the Falco Amiibo will be Best Buy exclusive.
Yes. And the Mii Fighters are Toys R Us exclusive for anybody who cares. All two of you.
And I went out to Toys R Us the other day because Jax is doing a whole line of Nintendo themed action figures.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the Star Fox crew in the N64 style.
Nice.
And it's like, merchandise for Star Fox? I'm getting in on this. And as I'm going through, I'm like, oh, I'll just glance at the Amiibo section for giggles. I'm sure they're not going to have anything I'm looking for. Son of a gun, if they didn't have a Little Mac, a Marth, and a couple of Bowser Juniors in the wild.
Huh. Wow.
And a Dark Pit. I scored the Dark Pit I was looking for.
Oh, sweet.
It even had a nice paint job. So it's like, okay. And this Toys R Us usually doesn't have a lot. But the Nintendo section was not only fully stocked, but holy mackerel, I didn't realize all the stuff they have. Like, they've got these little dioramas that are kind of like puzzle pieces that hook together so you can arrange it in different ways and they're all Wind Waker themed.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like a little Tetra and a little Link and a little Ganondorf, and you can put the bungalow next to the evil shrine door if you want to.
Yeah.
They had a Metroid that was about the size of a softball with a clear plastic outer shell, and that looked really nice.
Huh.
And have you seen those really tall, I don't want to call them action figures at that point, but they're like very large jointed statues? They've had a whole slew of Star Wars ones for a while.
I haven't seen them, no.
All right, so let's say about 2, maybe 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Link, Skyward Sword style.
Ooh.
You can have your very own disturbingly large Link if you so decide.
Nice.
And it looked like it was nice quality, too. So, this day and age that we never thought would come when Nintendo actually makes toys and we're all grown men without children. And it's like, this is for my nephew that you'll never meet, cashier.
This is for me. I'm buying this, by the way, for me. I'm nobody else. Whatever. I don't
braver
care.
Man than I.
I don't care. Judge whatever you like. I don't care.
I also like the fact that, we do the show and I lament that Star Fox Zero is right around the corner. And then the day immediately after,
yeah,
they announce that it's delayed.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So much for being topical.
Well, here's hoping that they're doing that to, tweak the controls or put normal controls back in.
Yes, please.
Going back to Amiibo real quick, there's going to be a restock of Villager. The Animal Crossing Villager is getting a restock. And that will be Toys R Us exclusive as well.
Evil.
Yeah. Also, it looks like the Mega Yarn Yoshi might be exclusive to Toys R Us too, which is weird.
Yeah, I thought the exclusivity, all them exclusive things. were going to go out the window, but I guess not.
No, they've cranked it up, but it hasn't been that bad. Nintendo's finally gotten their act together and at least gotten almost enough to cover demand. I went into a GameStop a couple days ago, and there were still, I'm trying to think, maybe 12 of the Retro 3 packs on the shelf.
Good gracious.
Yeah, I know. I figured those would be extremely limited and difficult to find just because they're, you know, the retro characters that aren't, they don't have games.
I mean, you would think that folks would just want to buy Duck Hunt Dog to throw it out the window and say, gotcha! Laugh at that! Yeah, into the oven you go.
This is true. This is true.
I also saw some 8-bit classic colored Mario Amiibos just floating around, and I thought those were fairly exclusive.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those, too. They aren't exclusive, they're just there. I just didn't expect there to be so many of them, either. And I picked one up fairly easily, so.
All right.
The modern ones, though, are still console bundle exclusive, so that's the most expensive Amiibo so far.
Okay, it's the one I was thinking of, then, I guess.
No, the modern one is in the console.
Yeah. I feel bad because everybody seems to have jumped onto the Mario Maker bandwagon, and they are just churning out content left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a limited budget. I couldn't just pick it up on a whim. And looking at it, I knew it'd be one of those things that I would play around with it for like a day or two and have a lot of fun and then be done with it.
Yeah.
And you can't really justify $70 up here for, you know, that little bit of time. But sure enough, like a week after it comes out, I get a tweet from a fan saying, here, I made a Mario stage in theme and in honor of the Sonic and Mega Man crossover. And it's like, I can't play it. You have done this wondrous thing and I can't acknowledge it. So I'm tweeting my friends going, if you've got the Mario Maker, would you play the level and tell me what it looks like? I need to know. Because I feel like a jerk.
I could have played it. You didn't tell me.
No, you were too slow on the draw.
I don't have too much crap going on anyway. My video game playing time has been kind of limited. Makes me sad. What's that?
What are you playing these days?
What was I playing yesterday? Oh yeah, I picked up Dead or Alive 5 last round, and I played like an hour of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about an hour into that. I'm a fighting game fan, even though I'm really bad at them. So when they go on sale, I tend to pick up most of the fighting games out there. They're fun. Good for a few hours of button mashing for me anyway. So
I think the last one I played was like, which one was on the Dreamcast? Was it 2 or 3?
I think 2 was on the Dreamcast for Dead or Alive specifically.
I think so. It's
2.
Not one of the series I followed as closely. All I remember was the giant Hulk Hogan looking fella who had a really easy move to pull off where he would flex and elbow a dude in the face and go, "Yoo-shoo!" And I would just spam that and piss off my friends. And then there was this other Indian-looking fella, I think. Mm-hmm. We didn't say much. He just growled and looked angry, and all of his moves involved throwing and breaking limbs. And eventually I had to stop using him because my friend was like, no, this is freaking me out. There's too many bones crunching. I can't play this game. You have to stop it.
I was just, I don't play online or anything really, so I was just playing against the AI. And there's one move, like a kind of a weird arcing drop kick that Hitomi does. And she just do that over and over and over and over and over. And then they die. And it's all good.
I remember years ago, this is like second grade or so, sleepover at my friend's house, and they had Killer Instinct.
Yes.
What was it, the Genesis or was it Super Nintendo?
It's been in Super Nintendo.
Okay.
For sure, because it's rare.
And that's right. And my friends are putting in all the codes, they're unlocking Idol, they're pulling off combos, they're doing all this. They're actually playing the fighting game as a fighting game.
Right.
And I figured out that if you crouch with Orchid and beat their ankles in with her baton, they can't get in close. Like, if you do not time that flying kick just right, you land and she beats your ankles in. And I just about did a flawless victory against Idol doing that.
Nice.
They were so mad.
Oh, man.
But I'm not really good at technical fighting games, your Street Fighters, your Virtual Fighters, your Tekkens. I don't have the mindset for it. And I just cannot get it to go for me. That's why I like Smash Brothers. It's like, it's not so much a combo as you know who does what, and then you throw yourselves at each other, and maybe there's a blue shell?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I am definitely, I'm not good at, you know, fighting games at all, but I don't know. I just like playing them. I like the character designs are fun for most of them, and I just like to, you know, sometimes it's cathartic to just, you know, punch someone in the face or kick them in the face or kick them in wherever. It doesn't really matter. So.
Oh, yeah, there's the beating in the face, but there's also the stabbing in the face, he said, trying not to be too awkward in his segue. Anyway, the article that I just saw where apparently there is evidence showing that they might be doing a Twilight Princess HD remake.
Ah.
I guess kind of in the vein of how they did Wind Waker at the Wii U's launch.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Did you play Twilight Princess?
Nope.
Okay. Good story. Good
conversation.
I don't know. I've got a kind of a love-hate relationship with it. Because on the one hand, Midna is the best partner character in the Zelda franchise. Yeah. There's no debate there. She's just delightful in her sarcasm and sass and penchants for violence. And the final dungeon, which for your sake, I guess I won't spoil. I've got a save file sitting at the very beginning of that because I love playing through that start to finish. That was one of my most cherished Zelda experiences. Just everything builds in a wonderful way. But as for the game overall, I honestly don't remember liking it that much.
I've heard kind of the same things on it. That it just
like
wasn't
there's
that good.
Neat ideas, and you know some of the boss fights were neat, but overall, it wasn't my favorite.
See, and I've heard at least one person say it was their favorite, but that's like one person.
That you know, a HD remake doesn't wow me as much as Wind Waker because, I mean, Wind Waker was gorgeous before. And, you know, to amplify its animated nature, cool, I'm all over that. Twilight Princess was meant to be that kind of, I don't want to say photorealistic, but, you know, more pretty realism. And, yeah, you can spruce it up a bit, but I can't imagine it would be that big of a jump.
Yeah, the thing is that would be a lot of work on Nintendo's part. A lot of development time as far as increasing the resolution of various art assets and everything like that. Wind Waker was fairly easy because everything was kind of just flat shaded.
Well, so at the same time, I've heard that getting cell shading to work is deceptively difficult.
True.
Like if you do it right, it looks like garbage.
True.
So, and segueing to that, have you seen anything of Transformers Devastation?
I have not.
It is based on the 80s cartoon. They got back what voice actors they could. I guess the rest are sound-alikes. And it's done by Platinum.
Okay, I did see a little bit of this.
They do the cel-shaded look for it, too, you know, to make it look like the old cartoon.
Yeah.
And I've not played it myself. I've only seen bits and pieces. But, oh, that's a pretty-looking game.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it now. Whew. Okay, yeah, that game looks good. Okay, Steam wish list? Okay, I need to log in. But yes, I'm adding that to the wish list.
I mean, it's a Platinum game, so it's got a lot of that very high-speed, hacky-slashy dodge sort of thing.
I am good with that. I do
but the gimmick is that
Platinum games.
That the gimmick is because it's Transformers, they freely change into the vehicle form and back. So part of the combo is, you know, punch, punch, kick, kick, turn into car, run into their face, turn back into robot, kick again.
Okay.
And one of the combos I saw, which was absolutely glorious, is you're playing as Optimus Prime, beats the ever-loving crap out of whatever Decepticon it was, throws him to the ground, turns into the truck, lands on him, peels out on them for like 30 seconds and then boots them away.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, I've heard it's got a playtime of like 3 to 5 hours, but I've also heard that it's got high replayability. So might be worth an investment, might be worth getting used. Who knows?
It looks like it's highly recommended, which is good. It plays kind of similar to Bayonetta, which is also good. I'm okay with that. Yeah, okay. I think you've sold me on this game. I didn't realize it was made. I did not realize it was made by Platinum. If I'd have known that.
I don't know if it's their A team or their B team, or at this point if they've got multiple development teams, but
it's
Platinum.
Probably their A team, just because it's a full price. Well, near a full price. It's not a budget title, and it doesn't look like one. Looks really good. Okay, yeah, I'll have to check that one out for sure. So, in other Smash Brothers news this week, there was also the latest patch. I don't know if it's the latest for sure, but at this point, but one of the most recent patches contained the data for looks like 6 character slots, additional 6 character slots. Yes, 6.
I had heard only 3.
The article I saw said 6. Maybe that article is wrong. I don't know. But they are just placeholder
slots. I don't
slots.
Want them to be wrong. I want more things to spend money on.
Yes.
I mean, I want more playable options.
Yes, me too. But
did you cast your ballot?
Yes, I did.
Who did you vote for?
I went for Shovel Knight. And then I went in again and went for Shantae. The same two I went for last time. I don't know if one cancels out the other. I don't know exactly how the ballot's supposed to work, but even if one did cancel out the other, yeah, that's fine. I will accept either or both. Preferably both.
Before I played the game, I was like, is Shovel Knight getting all this indie attention just because it's got a polished sprites? I mean, sure, it looks kind of neat, but is it really worthy of all the attention it's getting? And then off your recommendation, I played it, and it's like, yes, it is worth every ounce of attention. Ah! Shovel Knight!
Yeah. People are going to be tired of us talking about it after 2 episodes, but it really is that good, guys. I'm serious. All of you out there in the Bumble Land. That's what we're calling it now, right?
Bumble Realm, Bumble Kingdom.
The Bumble Kingdom. The Land of Bumble. Well, you do live in the Fortress of Bumblitude, so makes sense.
I put my hat in the ring for Dr. Eggman. I don't know, I feel kind of obligated. That and
he'd be good.
I feel
be
like
good.
If you basically make him a bigger, heavier Bowser Jr., the movesets could pretty much be the same, you know? Save a little bit of development time, just tweak it.
Very similar, yeah. Yeah, I could see it. Have the wheels popping out. Yeah. Wheels popping out of the Eggmobile. Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Exactly. And then for alternate costumes, you've got classic Eggman and Dr. Negi. You need to do this, please. I mean, Bowser and Mario, Link and Ganon, Pac-Man has the ghosts, kind of.
They are playable.
I'm going to laugh really, really hard if it turns out that they finally give in and they put in Ridley as playable, truly playable, but then they shrink him down to like Kirby size.
Oh, man. No one will ever ask for anything ever again.
Although I am holding out hope. This is desperate hope. Mm-hmm. But you know when they released the slew of character costumes with K. Rool and Lloyd from Tales of Symphonia?
Yeah.
People were all mad because they think that confirms that they're not going to be actual full characters. What if those are the previews? What if those were the top ranked and this is just a taste of what's to come?
I also saw a rumor of murmurings of inklings from Splatoon getting added, so
I will honestly be very surprised if they aren't in there, just because Splatoon, from what I've heard, is outselling Smash Brothers in Japan, and it's the first new Nintendo IP to really, really take off.
Yeah.
So if they don't get added in as a full character, I will be surprised.
Yeah, I kind of figured. I kind of wrote them off when the uh, Mii the Mii costumes were announced for him, but it's still possible. It's just
that I'm just desperate for Lloyd to be playable because he just makes sense.
Yeah, that also, would be cool.
I owe you an apology, sir.
Oh, why is that?
Because last episode I asked, "Hey, Kyle, do you play the Tales of series?" Herp derp. Completely forgetting that you and my wife put together this four disc long album of remix music.
Well, you see.
That's kind of like you saying, "Hey, Ian, have you ever heard of the Sonic the Hedgehog thing?" It's kind of like Mario, but faster. Hey, Kyle, have you ever tried water? I hear it's wet. It's rather tasty. Why don't you try it sometime?
Hey, Ian, have you ever heard of air? I hear it helps you live.
Have you tried it? So it does, and I've been doing it wrong all this time.
Oh. Well, now you know.
Now I know, and knowing is half the battle.
Well, you know what? I was very kind and did not try and interject that. My shameless self-promotion. My instincts to shamelessly self-promote did not kick in there, so...
They should have, because now I feel like an idiot. Just imagine you sitting there just it's fine. Shaking your head, going, ugh. You come to me, Flynn, you say, "Hey, let's do a radio show. Oh, by the way, Kyle, you do all the work putting it together."
You think I've done all the work? I haven't done hardly anything. What are you talking about?
Now in the second episode, you're making me sound like some bad Brooklyn accent. What's going on, Flynn?
Oh, huh? Come on. That's exactly how I talk, by the way. your impression is spot on.
Well, obviously everyone who's listening can tell, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Yes.
Well, yes, it's true. I did do that thing. It was fun. And it was released back in 2009. And you can go get it at ocremix.org. Yes. What's that?
Okay, say that again because I talked over you.
Okay. You can go get it at tales.ocremix.org for those of you who are interested. It includes both musical arrangements from Tales of Phantasia and Tales of Symphonia. And it took 4 years to put that thing together.
People kept dropping out on you.
Never again. Never again.
Yeah, sure, I'll do this one. Oh, don't you say never again. As soon as that was done, you had three more going on.
You know what? Never again for one that big.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Well, I mean, you were working on that one for Super Dodgeball, was it?
Right. That took 2 years of
me. And you didn't originally have that project, though. You took it over after it was dying, right?
It was in, I think it started about not too long after we started Summoning of Spirits. That started, and it just kind of sat there for a little while. My good friend Wallen, who originally was running it, he sort of ran out of time and all sorts of, you know, personal things I won't get into. But me and him teamed up to finish it off. Still took a couple of years, but I'm really proud of that project, especially. It turned out really well.
What other remix projects have you done?
And then after that, I did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rock and metal remix project called Shell Shocked, and it's pretty hardcore. You guys out there might like it.
Speaking of Ninja Turtles, have you been keeping up with the new cartoon?
Keeping up, no, but I finally did get around to watching a couple episodes of the first season, and I must say it is extremely enjoyable.
Yes, it is. Welcome to the fold, my turtle brother. We just finished watching season 3 not too long ago, and I hate to say it, but the season finale was not that great.
Aww.
I mean, everything leading up to it was pretty spiffy. The first few episodes of season 3 are all very standalone. Each one is a different homage. Each one is a homage to a different B-horror movie, and they're honestly really creepy. And it was designed because they didn't know exactly how the season was going to play out in terms of production, so they made it very, not filler, I guess, but, you know, fairly standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they knew how they could proceed forward, then they moved on with the plot line. But everything was really solid for the most part, and then the season finale was just like, it felt rushed. It smacked of executive meddling. And it was like, okay, and now we have the setting for season 4, go. So I don't know what happened, but I'm hoping season four is a little tighter. Hoping its ending wraps up a little nicer, but I don't know. Overall, the show is stellar and it's worth watching.
I was really impressed mainly with it. I've only watched the first 5 episodes, and from what I understand, the animation gets better and better as the series progresses.
Absolutely.
But I was really impressed, even in the first few episodes, with the facial animations and the dynamics with those.
Mm-hmm. April looks a little, well, all the humans look a little funky the first time they show up, but they work out the rough edges over time.
Yeah. That tends to happen with 3D animated shows especially, so makes sense.
And if you enjoy that, you should check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures number 5 in December, published by IDW, and read the backup story. Hint. Nudge. Nudge. Hint. Wink, wink.
I'm gonna get it. That's my stamp of approval. I'm gonna get it.
That's
what I'm saying. I do not have.
And then after that, you can pick up other issues that I don't know when they come out yet, but we'll leave it at that for now.
Uh oh. Wink, hint, hint. Wink, wink.
Nudge, wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. You know what I mean?
Oh, nice. I do not own everything written by you, but it's pretty close.
Come now, Kyle. I've only been writing 4 titles over the course of like 10 years. Actually, come to think of it, how much would that be? Every single individual issue?
Well, I didn't buy them individually.
Collections?
But I'm thinking,
might have to drop a pretty penny to have a full Flynn collection. That's scary.
I'm thinking of your Archie one-offs mainly.
Yeah, you don't need to grab those. I mean, they are what they are, but I don't know. It's weird with Archie. I find that far more difficult to write than anything else. Because it's that, you know, certain kind of Archie humor that you have to nail, because if you go too far one way or the other, it doesn't feel like Archie. This is, you know, all in the context of the book before it got rebooted, but
right.
I don't know, it was really hard to find the right voice and the right pacing to do just regular old Archie.
Huh. Was it an intimidation factor? Were you like, oh man, this is like a 70-year-old property. I better not screw this up.
Yeah, a little bit of that, and a little bit of it is just, you know, kind of outside of my comfort zone. I'm a little more, I guess, in tune with the action-adventure dramedy type of thing.
Right. What did you write for Archie?
I heard something
about you writing for... You wrote Sabrina for a while? Is that...
No.
I don't know.
Sabrina first. Back in, when was this? We'll say early 2000s because I have no memory whatsoever. writer / artist Tanya Del Rio was given the job of revamping Sabrina in a manga style.
Ah, okay.
And that went for 100 issues, and I really liked it. I really thought she did a lot of neat things with it. And then there was a 2-part story where... I don't know how familiar you are with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but the black cat familiar she has, Salem?
Yeah. I've seen the show, so I know that much.
Okay, so in various incarnations, he's always been some kind of wizard or warlock that was punished by and turned into a cat.
Right.
Well, in Tanya's continuity, Salem was this extremely powerful wizard who sought to conquer the magic realm. And when he was finally defeated as punishment, he was turned into the cat. And Tanya had this 2-part story drawn by Chad Thomas, who's done some Mega Man work, who's currently on Ninja Turtles right now. Love his style. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Great guy. That showed Salem in his youth as this young man seeking out this extremely powerful magic wand. And the idea of Salem as this adventuring, lovable rogue who really is out to do evil things really spoke to me. So I pitched an idea where we would tell Salem's story from the beginning. You know, who he was as a young boy, how he grew up, where did his desires to conquer come from, and really explore this character who has at his core a good heart, but is not a nice person. You know, where does he go down the dark path?
Yeah.
And that was the... Tales of Young Salem, I think, is what we called it. Shoot, it's been so long. And it was originally meant to be a miniseries that we would hopefully get, it would pick up steam and become its own thing. this big property, had huge plans, you know, great overarching story showing his life as he grew up in the Magic Realm, except it got moved from a miniseries to Sabrina number 101 to 104. This was after Sabrina was advertised as ending at number 100. So, understandably, sales were kind of bleh.
Right.
I don't know if it's been reprinted anywhere. I don't think it has. But if you can hunt it down, it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Volume 2, I believe, numbers 101 through 104. Sabrina presents Young Tales of Salem.
Yeah, Magical Tales of Young Salem.
I'm looking
right at it. Looks like it is available digitally from Archie, so...
Okay, perfect.
Go hit that. It's
cheaper that way.
Yeah, yeah. $2 a book. Sounds like a deal.
And so, I've done more Archie stuff. Let me go to a handy dandy website where I have this all listed because it's been so long. You know what that website is, Kyle? It's BumbleKing.com. Bumble like King like the monarch.com.
BumbleKing.com? Why, you might very well be there right now.
Let's see. Pull this up on my slow computer.
You have done many a thing.
I have done many a thing. Did a story called Reggie King of Fools, which was a small story in Archie and Friends number 153. That was just Reggie being a jerk to everybody because that's what Reggie does on April Fool's Day. Did Geek Face Off in Archie number 624, where we had the founder of Facebook guest star, and he and Dilton, the resident geek, go up against each other to design a networking app for the school, primarily because Dilton said something to tick Veronica off, so she just calls in all her rich buddies to do her work for her.
Nice.
And then there was a graphic novel called Archie Babies, which is kind of like Muppet Babies, but with Archie characters.
Right.
And there was a whole graphic novel devoted to that, and it's a thick book. But I did a small story in there called The Great Lion Hunt, where they go, where they hear about some kind of cat on the loose, and they turn it into this whimsical adventure of hunting for a lion, and it turns out to be a little itty-bitty kitten, and it's super cute and all that jazz. I made the mistake of going, okay, this is, you know, for very young readers. We'll do simple rhyme, you know, a little iambic pentameter. I'm not a poet, Kyle. I'm not good with rhymes. I'm not good with meter. Why I decided to do, what was it, 10, 20 pages of frickin' iambic pentameter, I don't know. I don't know why I did it.
Now I'm curious and want to read it.
If you do read it and you go, that's a bit of a stretch, that was after hours of staring at the screen going, why don't you work?
Here's the thing. I'm not particularly picky when it comes to poetry. In fact, I'm not really a big fan of poetry at all. So I'll probably read it and be like, yeah, sure, that sounds fine. Why not? It's poetry. It's not... It's your own interpretation as far as I'm concerned. I don't really think there's necessarily a specific form to poetry. I guess iambic pentameter would be a specific form, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
E. Cummings can do the deconstructionist thing. I kind of flail at the page. Please rhyme.
I was going to say, at least you write. When I open up a word processing thing, I just sit there and stare at it and go, what?
One of the neat things about the Archie Baby story, though, is working on the Sonic book, I've gotten to work with a bunch of the artists that I grew up reading and, you know, idolizing.
Yes.
But by the time I got onto the book, Art Mulhenny, who did a ton of stuff in the early days, had moved on to do other work.
Yeah.
I got to work with Art Mulhenny to do this Archie Baby book.
Oh, nice.
And since he does that very cutesy, very round style, it fit perfectly. So it's like, hot diggity, I've gotten to work with pretty much everybody I've ever wanted to work with that, you know, had used to work on the book. I think the only one I'm missing at this point is Manny Gallen, who, from my understanding, has kind of disappeared from the industry, which is too bad because he had some really nice stuff when he worked on Knuckles.
Yeah, didn't he do the... I might be thinking of someone else. Metallic Madness?
No, that was Patrick Spaziante.
That's... was it Spaz? Okay.
Yeah, Mecha Madness.
Okay, who wrote Mecha Madness? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Mecha Madness. Why did I say Metallic Madness? Am I thinking of the Sonic CD works. Zone? Okay, anyway.
Oh, shoot, I know who wrote that.
I know we talked about it a couple of years ago at SDCC.
Hold on, I'm looking this up because I feel like an idiot.
That's okay. I can't remember who wrote it.
Mike Gallagher, there we go.
Mike Gallagher, okay, yeah.
As soon as I hit search on Google, it's like, Mike Gallagher, there we go. Yeah, Mike Gallagher wrote and Patrick Spaziante drew it, and I had the extreme pleasure of meeting him at New York Comic Con one year.
Mm-hmm.
Spaz, I mean.
Right.
And this is when we were debuting Mega Man, and he's doing sketches, and he's way, way too hard on himself. Because we're sitting there, and somebody says, can you sketch me, you know, Sonic and Mega Man shaking hands? And he's like, all right, I'll give it a shot. I hope it's okay. And it was like watching a laser printer. Just, and suddenly there's these perfectly crisp lines, and it's just Sonic and Mega Man. And it's like, how did you do that? It's like, I don't know, it's not that good. It's like, Patrick, that I would give a limb to do what you do. Your off day is better than I could ever achieve.
Man, Spaz is brilliant. Even if he doesn't think so. He's really good.
He's a really nice guy, too.
That reminds me, actually, since we brought up Mecha Madness. I saw, like, last week, I think, a couple weeks ago, maybe. Someone drew a... here it is. Mecha Madness, Mecha Madness Sonic versus Mega Man.
Ooh. I've not seen it.
It is pretty cool.
You're going to have to link that in the video.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely do that. But, yeah, it's pretty bad to see Mecha Madness Sonic again facing off against Mega Man. That would have been cool. We haven't seen Mecha Madness Sonic in a while, so whatever. would have been a little awkward all of a sudden. Oh, hey, Mecha Madness Sonic, what's up? And all of a sudden he's just there. I still love that design for him, though. Roboticized Sonic. That roboticized Sonic. That was awesome.
And the roboticized Knuckles.
Yes.
And you got to really love the story because... Even if you can poke a million holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
It has so much fun with itself. It's Sonic as a killer robot with laser cannons, and Knuckles has magnetic super arms, and who cares? Just look at that. Oh, it's so pretty.
As a kid, I was freaking out. I was like, oh, man, why is this continued in a special issue? I want it in the next one. Now I have to go out and buy the special, the 48-page special, just to finish it. And I did.
I remember when I was ordering some early Archie stuff, I was actually shorted. I think it was the Sonic and Knuckles special.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted them saying, you know, I missed out on this issue in my order. Could you please send it along? And not only did I get that issue and a duplicate of what I had already ordered, but Mecha Madness was in there. I'm like, what is this? I didn't order this. I've never heard of this. Well, let's see what it is. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh man, I'm just
that's
sad.
The comics I read till it fell apart. It's just studying every single panel.
Yeah, I did that a lot back in the day with pretty much all the Sonic comics because it was a whole month between every issue. I had a lot of time. It's a lot of time, you know. A lot of my old issues have the cover fallen off, or it's not. I don't think any of my issues are missing any covers, but they have all come apart.
So much for the resale.
Yeah, oh well, I'm not planning on reselling any of this stuff anyway. I'm just gonna let it pile up around me until it all collapses in on me, and then I can then I can die happy.
Speaking of the Sonic book, the show comes out on Monday, so this'll already be in stores. Sonic the Hedgehog number 277 will be the latest issue out. Continuing our adventure through the Shattered World Crisis, and on the accelerated path to finally wrapping up this storyline that's been going on since the reboot.
Mm-hmm. 277, is that issue 2 of this particular story arc, or is that...
Nah, it's the lead story is standalone. It is the triumphant return of Lupe in her all-new wonderful
form.
That's right.
On the cover, I saw her, and I was like, oh, yeah.
As designed by editor Vin Lovello. And the backup story is part 1 of 3 of the next story to be written by Aaliyah Baker. And it is the return of the, as the fans call them affectionately, the Dear Sisters, Clove and Cassia.
Nice. I'm there. I'm getting it in the mail, so of course I'm there. But still. Oh man, I still need to get caught up on Sonic Universe. Actually, that's the only one I'm behind on right now. So
we're two parts into the Silver Age, which is artist Evan Stanley's first foray into writing the book.
Yes, yes, I have those two parts sitting in front of me right now. I should get around to reading them. I only have 276 for Sonic. They're usually a little slow about mailing me my subscription, so, or sometimes they just don't. Are we allowed to mention that?
Hey, I'm a freelancer. I don't handle anything in the office.
Okay, okay. Well, I know. I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to get you in trouble by complaining about Archie's distribution center. Whoever Archie uses for distribution. I don't know. I don't know if the top
I don't think I'm going to get in trouble unless I start saying, "Oh yeah, they're stupid." No, it's no.
Well, they might take that out of context now. Look what you've done.
Kyle, with me going, "Argh," out of context, it's more, shameful towards me than anything else.
True, true. All right, fine, whatever. All right, Ian, I think it's time we get into some Q&A.
Ooh, Q&A.
Q&A.
Little bit of A with a little ampersand in the middle.
Yes. We have plenty of questions. All of them directed at you. Nobody loves me.
That's okay. The podcast is early.
The podcast
is... I'm sure you'll get all sorts of questions in time.
I'm sure I will. People questioning my existence. Maybe you shouldn't do that.
Get the whole existential crisis.
Oh, God.
Are you a Kyle? Really? Deep down?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I have long asked. I can't figure it out. Anyway. Meladin asks, how involved have Sonic Team / Sega been in regards to Mighty's connection to the Chaotix past the rewrite of the universe? Or even Knuckles' connection to them? Knuckles is a hard name to say.
It is hard to pluralize.
Yes.
They haven't, insofar as I haven't given them reason to. It's pretty clear that Iizuka-san doesn't consider Knuckles Chaotix part of the game canon, but I'm kind of working under the assumption it's canon to the comics universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the fun little tap dance of what can Ian not say, but still imply and get it past all the people looking at it. As far as I'm concerned, Mighty already knows the Chaotix. They had grand adventures together, and Mighty does his thing, the Chaotix do their thing. When we will ever get to put that in print, I don't know. But that's what I'm working under right now.
Okay. You haven't... Mighty hasn't even shown up after the reboot, has he?
Yeah, he did. He had a four-part story where he got a throwdown with the Werehog.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God. Holy crap, my memory is really bad. Oh, man.
That particular issue was drawn by the indomitable Tyson Hess, who is just freaking amazing.
Yes, I remember now. I do remember now.
And if you get a chance, look up his original book that's being published, I believe, by IDW right now called Diesel. I was following it when he was doing the very early passes at it. He since reworked it heavily, and it's now getting published, so good for him. He is awesome. Go check it out.
That is awesome. Man. Gosh. I think all I can remember right now is like the Champions arc for the Sonic the Fighters adaptation, which, go ahead.
Yeah. That one, Diana Scali's artwork on that was just freaking phenomenal.
Oh, God. It's beautiful. I love that freaking story. I want it in, like, hardcover collection. It's so awesome. I was just like, holy crap, this is a Sonic the Fighters adaptation? This, Ian, you are a genius. And bringing back Breezy. I was like, wait a minute. This is the character from Adventures, right? I had to go look it up to be sure, because I actually forgot her name.
And bringing Breezy back really opened my eyes to another facet of the Sonic fandom. I mean, I knew people remembered Adventures of fondly.
Yes.
It was never my cup of tea, but, folks enjoyed it, and good for them.
when I was like 8 years old, Adventures was kind of my jam. I preferred Sat AM, but Adventures was fun when I was a kid.
Sure. What I didn't realize is there seems to be a small group of folks that are just as passionate about Adventures as anyone else is about Sat AM or Underground or X, like hardcore to it. Like they were mad about Breeze's redesign.
Okay.
they were mad that we were playing coy about whether or not she was a robot or a cyborg or something, which I'm not confirming or denying at this point just because I enjoy the tease, but
yes,
people really, really were far more into it than I would have thought, because I mean, it's Adventures Of. It's the comedy show. It purposefully has no plot.
I distinctly remember a long time ago when I followed the fan community a lot more was people actually, a lot of people actually liked Adventures because it was kind of reflected a little bit more of what the games were, which was Sonic and Tails going on adventures.
Sure.
So, also rather than
Eggman rolling around mostly naked with jewels spilling out of his belly button.
Oh man, Eggman, Robotnik in that show though is hilarious. I still love that incarnation of Robotnik, especially.
He's quite a reputable despot, wouldn't you say, Kyle?
Bingus!
What do you think?
That was a weird...
We like it! It's large!
That was a weird reaction.
Heaven help me, I'm quoting YouTube poops. Anyway, next question. Move on.
Let's move on. The real FTA asks, who is your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and why is it Donatello?
That's a funny way to pronounce Michelangelo. You want to get that looked in?
Donatello is my favorite Ninja Turtle.
Oh, well, good for you. You're wrong.
I know.
Michelangelo is the best.
I know. My girlfriend would agree with you. I love Michelangelo, though. He's very close for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've always loved Mikey. I distinctly remember being like 8 years old and turtle mania had gripped the nation, and we went to some department store because it was published in the newspaper that they were going to have a new shipment of figures, and by God, I was going to get that complete collection. And all I was missing was Mikey, because he was sold out everywhere because everyone loves Mikey,
right?
And some poor clerk carries out the big old box, puts it in the middle of the floor. There was like this mosh pit of people around him barely containing themselves. And he was like pointing at kids individually saying, which one? Which one? I come up there. I'm terrified because this is not the kind of shopping experience I have ever experienced. He looks at me. Which one? Michelangelo. Which one? Orange one. Boop, in the box. Here you go. Next. And I was like, okay, I got my Mikey. Da-da-da, and just prance on off. But yeah, that was a bit crazy.
Man, that's like the Amiibo situation 20 years later.
It's almost like
it's like exactly the same.
It's cyclical or something.
Yes. I don't know. I've always liked Donnie. First of all, he's got the purple headband. Purple is awesome. And he's always just kind of spoken to me as the nerdy guy. So.
Oh my God, I just had an epiphany.
What's up?
Kyle, what colors are Bumble King?
Green and orange.
Hello, it's Michelangelo.
Green and orange. Oh my God!
We have come full circle.
Oh, it is now. It is time. It is time to become one. It is time to become one with Michelangelo. The Bumble King and Michelangelo must become one. I don't know how that works, but it has to happen.
It's just like a fusion of spirits, dude.
Dude. Oh, man. Dude.
Cowabunga. Or, excuse me, nowadays it's Booyakasha.
Oh, really? Is that where that's from?
Yeah, apparently the voice actor was said, okay, just come up with some nonsense phrase, and he screamed Booyakasha, and that became the thing. I think it's somewhere in second season, they introduced Mondo Gecko. So it's voiced by the voice actor for Michelangelo in the first live-action movie.
Oh, really?
Mondo Gecko's catchphrase is cowabunga.
They don't say cowabunga anymore?
Oh, it's Booyakasha now.
I don't know. I'm old school. I prefer cowabunga. I don't know. Maybe I just have to watch it and I'll get into it.
Well, that's what Mikey says in the episode. He's like, cowabunga? I don't know, dude. That sounds kind of old school.
I know. I like old school.
Like, the entire intro sequence is one gigantic love letter to Ninja Turtles of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the song itself is more or less a remix of the 80s theme in a kind of funky rap way.
Oh, it looks fantastic. And I do remember watching that Turtles Forever special, which was pretty freaking cool. But
it was amazing.
Yeah, that was a little while ago. Love me some Ninja Turtles. And that's funny, because I didn't actually used to like the Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. I was a weird kid, I know. If it wasn't like Sonic or Mario, I wasn't all that into it. It took me a little while. It was like when I was in my teenage years, I was like, oh, okay. The Turtles are actually really freaking awesome.
At least you saw the light.
Yes. Yeah, I was definitely a weird kid in that respect, I suppose. I'm still weird, but maybe not as much. Anyway, let's move on to our next question from Death Metal Rob, which is a great name. Hey, it's descriptive. He's Rob, oh, yeah, and he's Death Metal. Or
I'm not arguing.
He likes Death Metal. I don't know. He asks, will we ever see the old character designs again? Not a fan of Sally, Bunny, and Antoine's new looks.
No, the new designs are there for a reason. They're to make them look like Sonic characters and not... Here are the furry cartoon characters we threw in with a Sonic show. Or rather, the furry show that we threw Sonic into to sell it. They're Sonic characters now. That's how they're going to look.
Right, right.
Sorry you don't like them. I can't really do anything about that.
I really like Sally's new design, actually. I don't know. I just like the looks of the new characters, especially on the 3D rendered covers. Who did those? Who's
there? That's Raphanite.
That's right, that's right. Oh, man. I really like that look for them. The 3D rendered covers are awesome.
Oh, they're absolutely gorgeous. They take a ton of time to produce, but they are well worth it.
Yeah. I don't usually go for alternate covers, but the number one, Spark of Life, with the 3D rendered Nicole, my Raphanite. I had to do it. I had to do it because, well, Nicole has like quickly become like my favorite freaking character in the whole book.
It's that whole purple thing again.
Oh, yeah. It's all that purple. I'm always down with the purple.
There's a storyline coming up that I went to the editor and said, hey, you know what would be cool? If we did this, like, four-part triptych cover all done by Raphanite.
Oh.
And he's like, that would be amazing. It's completely impossible to do because she'd have to start on it last year. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh,
but sad. I think he's still game for the triptych cover, so.
I'm sad.
I'm sad. I know. I gave you a dream and dashed it all in one go.
You have ruined my life for the next second. Okay, I'm good again. All right, next question. DeLuna asks, DeLuna 13, who is the purple guy?
The purple guy.
The purple guy. Nicole is a purple girl.
Rotor's a purple guy.
Rotor is a purple guy.
The Grimace is a purple.
Rotor used to be kind of a blue guy. Does that count?
No. He's always been kind of purpley lilac.
I saw
this old piece of McDonald's promotional art where the Grimace used to be a villain.
Really?
Like it used to be Hamburglar stole the hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Fry Guy stole the French fries.
Yes.
And the Grimace used to have six arms and would steal the milkshakes.
Six arms?
Six arms. Do you think Grimace is weird looking now? Imagine it as some kind of octopus blob monster. He became terrifying.
Huh.
And at some point he lost four arms and became just another buddy. Of course, all of those mascots seem to have been lost to time now, but
they've been They were flanderized and then completely gone. Except for
Okay, I put it together.
Go ahead.
You know, with horrifying purple things and purple guy. I think it's a Five Nights at Freddy.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like some subplot about some child murderer or something being the purple guy. I don't know. I don't play the games because I can't do pop scares. I don't do horror or creepy stuff. not a fan, don't like it, can't do it. I appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
Really cool that the developer was able to do so much with such a simple premise, but not for me. Mm-mm. Not going to go near it. Not going to touch it. Yeah, no, thank you.
I'm not really into it either. I've seen a couple videos of it, and I'm like, not really my kind of game. Not really the kind of game I want to play necessarily. So,
like, I was reading up on
just it is interesting.
Oh, sure. I was reading up on a wiki on what is the fourth game that's out, the one where you're playing as a little kid in the house. I think
they're up to number four. Yeah. So it's the fastest sequel turnaround time ever. Anyway, go ahead.
But I mean, just reading about the gameplay elements had the hair standing up on the back of my neck. I can't do it. Cannot. Don't make me do it, Kyle. Take it away. I don't want it.
I don't want it either. I don't even own it. I don't have it. It's not me. Anyway. No. Yes. Enough FNAF talk. What's that?
That's pretty much the sound I would make playing it. You know, the first thing pops up.
That's funny. That's just how I read that acronym, is FNAF. Anyway, we have one last question. From a person named Spin. This one is the main homeland of the Freedom Fighters is West Side Island. Is there an East Side Island? If so, do both islands get into constant hip hop battles? That's terrible. That's a terrible question. I love it.
No, that excellent question. actually, something that we'll be getting to in the comics eventually. So. Mm-hmm. This comes with a big asterisk next to it because it hasn't been editorial approved yet, but this is what I'm planning on doing, and I don't foresee it getting rejected. The Kingdom of Acorn and Mobitropolis are situated on West Side Island, mm-hmm. but the Dominion of the Kingdom is within a series of islands called the Acorn Archipelago, which includes South Island, North Island, and the East Watch Islands, which are a whole smattering of very small but very tightly clustered together islands. Huh. West Side Island is the biggest of the group. South Island, of course, is where Sonic 1 took place and where Eggman was initially looking for the Chaos Emeralds.
Right.
I don't think we have anything that's ever happened on North Island, and Eastwatch Island has obviously not been addressed yet either, but that's the plan. If it changes... there you go. You had a little bit of insight on the editorial process.
Huh. As South Island is, are you still considering that like Sonic's home island or homeland where he first came from or whatever? I don't know.
You can go that way. Some folks want to stick with the old Christmas Island origin story.
I think I've heard that somewhere, but I didn't, it is, like hasn't sunk in.
Yeah. I'm treating him as something of a mystery. He's always on the move, and he doesn't really care where he's been. It's where he's going. So
that sounds like Sonic. What are you doing? Writing some sort of Sonic the Hedgehog comic or something?
As you know, yes, I am.
Oh, well, carry on then.
All right then.
That's gonna do it for Q&A this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed the questions and the answerings thereof. If you want to find more of the Bumblecast, head on over to bumbleking.com or kngi.org. You will find it there. Or you'll find it on YouTube. Just search for Bumbleking videos, and you'll find more episodes of the Bumblecast there. As of this recording, you will find only one other episode, but that's okay. We will be having many more coming soon.
Hopefully. All right, Kyle, you want to give us any shout-outs or plugs for the end of the show?
Yes. Of course, be sure to go check out the composer of our awesome theme song, Coda. You can go hear his music over at bc.s3m.us. Oh, you can also find his music also over on SoundCloud. at soundcloud.com/coda, which you'll find like the latest singles and stuff that he's releasing there. You can stream it all for free and download albums over at Bandcamp. So be sure to go do that. And I think that covers what my end. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Ian?
You can always find stuff about me at www.bumbleking.com. That's Bumble like the bee, King like the monarch. Or you can follow me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. I also have a Patreon going on. It's at patreon.com/IanFlynnBKC. It's Raiders of the Abyss, a sci-fi story where the patrons decide on how the story progresses. It's very early on, so please feel free to jump on and support me and decide how the story goes.
Go support it. Chapter 1 is excellent. So go do it now.
Do it.
It has. Do it now! Do it now!
Patreon!
Get to the Patreon! Do it now! What's up?
Careful, you're starting to turn a Chewbacca there.
Oh, you're right. I tend to do that.
Although, wouldn't that be a fantastic crossover? Chewbacca and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Chewie, get to the job! All right, that's going to do it for episode 2. I'm cutting it off right now. Here on October the 19th, 2015. And we will see you again November 2nd. Take care, everyone.
See you later. Thank you for listening to the Bumblecast. Please subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review on iTunes. Find more episodes at bumbleking.com and kngi.org. Bumblecast is copyright Bumbleking Comics. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more music from Coda at bc.s3n.us. Pay what you want for the intro theme, as part of the compilation album Noise Chan and Nugget, Adventures in Chiptune, at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com.